This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Hey gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Go there, rbnrepublicbroadcasting.org, and click on the donate button. And also download the co-certified app from nationalbugle.com. It'll help you lead a non-kosher certified lifestyle. And, of course, nationalbugle.com is also the place that you go for all of the great headlines from Mark Dankoff. Mark, welcome to the show.
Well, it's good to be on the show, and we thought tonight that we would really cover this whole story of the Mujahideen-e-Khalq, or the People's Holy Warriors, both their past history, as well as how the United States and Israel and Saudi Arabia are using them now to enact or effect a regime change situation in Iran. But before we get to just summarizing some of the main stories that will support what we're talking about, which people can access at nationalbugle.com, our big board, if they simply go to the description, which is a 7.5-minute video that I posted at VKontakte, all of the links that they can read are excellent ones and will help to fill in the blanks and we are not able to cover on the radio. So I would urge people to do that at their leisure. One thing that needs to be mentioned as a sad note is that Justin Raimondo of antiwar.com has passed away at the age of 67. We posted that on the big board tonight, and so that people might remember all of the productive things that he did in his life that assisted responsible anti-war commentary. And it's interesting that he was on the, what I would consider to be the cultural left in regard to his personal life and some of his libertarian ideas. But on the other hand, he was quite fascinatingly a supporter of Pat Buchanan on three different occasions when Pat ran for the presidency of the United States. So Justin Raimondo was a very complicated guy, very articulate guy. And also was someone who, again, in spite of all of the tragic things that he went through in life, really had a major impact on people. And quite clearly, ever since his illness, where it was understood by most people that it would be an absolute miracle if he survived, he continued to write very productively, far beyond what I believe I could have done had I been that ill. So we salute him tonight, even as start taking a closer look at what's going on in Iran this evening, and look specifically at a major component in the Iranian situation with the United States and Israel and Saudi Arabia, and that is the American support for an organization called the MEK. And that is getting us then into the big board in terms of specific things that we can talk about in regard to news stories. If one gets into the VKontakte link, which we provided, which actually describes what we're talking about on this show, there are a couple of go-to sources that I would recommend on a regular basis for people to follow the MEK organization and what they're really doing. One is Anna Masoud Cotabandez Iran Interlink. There's a link that is provided for that through VKontakte, and these folks are former MEK operatives who left the organization for a lot of very, very fine reasons. They have turned out to do a lot of really great things for people, including informing us as to what is being planned right now that is in no one's interest, who's not evil. So I would have people take a look at Iran Interlink when it's possible. The Nejat Society is another one. If people go to my webpage, Mark Dankoff's America at WordPress, there will also be links to both of those websites. Phil Giraldi has a terrific post at UNS Review entitled, "The MEK's Money Sure Can't Buy Love, But It Can Buy a Lot of Politicians." Dr. Giraldi goes a long way toward informing us as to who is on the take and why with this MEK organization.
It's weird. So the MEK has money. Where do they get their money from?
That's an excellent, before I read just a couple of more headlines and we get into that specifically, you've already asked an excellent question. I find it hard to believe that this organization has generated this income on its own. All of the available circumstantial evidence about the MEK membership would suggest that they have to be getting that money from other sources. And as we start studying their long and sordid history, there are suggestions certainly that their sources are coming of money and support are coming from very, very significant places. I'll mention just one example of this that Dr. Giraldi mentions in the UNS Review article, and that is that in 2015, I believe, Barack Obama was able to get the United Nations Commission on Refugees to move the MEK to Tirana, Albania. That was their headquarters for a long time. Apparently, they have moved to yet another location in Albania that is called Ashraf 3. Ashraf 3. So in this particular case, the MEK, at one time based at Camp Ashraf in Iraq, eventually found its way to Tirana, Albania, through the auspices of the intervention of one Barack Obama and the United Nations Commission on Refugees. And there were $20 billion American dollars that went into helping the UN get the MEK set up in Albania. Mm-hmm. One other thing that is quite fascinating are all of the front organizations that even Wikipedia associates with the MEK organization. The most significant and recognizable of these is the National Council of Resistance of Iran, the NCRI, which is nothing more than a front for the MEK, and their operation is based in Paris. And so it's quite fascinating that whether we are seeing these American cheerleaders for the MEK showing up in Paris or we're seeing them show up in Albania, it is quite obvious that something is going on when we see John Bolton, Rudolph Giuliani, Ed Rendell, the former mayor of Philadelphia, and former
governor, governor
of Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
And all the laundry list of other people, Senator John Cornyn right here in Texas, yeah, appears constantly with the MEK.
Really?
We've seen both in terms of money trails as well as being photographed with Miriam Rajavi, the widow of the late Masoud Rajavi. And so it's quite interesting that when we look at these people like Cornyn and Bolton and Giuliani on the one hand, that we can also see plenty of politicians in the Democratic Party that are also in the employ of the MEK.
Rendell.
Yeah, Ed Rendell being one.
A Jewish individual, by the way.
Yeah, he's as Jewish as the day is long, very close links to the Israeli lobby, which is not an accident, of course. And then Dr. Paul Sheldon Foote of Cal State Fullerton, who back in the 60s was stationed at the American Embassy in Tehran. He's a Ron Paul Republican, and he is now teaching, I believe, both economics and accounting, if I'm remembering this correctly, at Cal State Fullerton. He's a Ron Paul Republican, has a very nice Iranian wife. And Dr. Foote, just a day or so ago, send me these current YouTube videos that are out there on several of these jaybirds that spoke publicly at this latest MEK-soaked regime change rally in Washington, D.C., which, of course, has heavy links as well to their front organization, the National Council of Resistance of Iran. Names like Tom McClintock, Republican of California, and Brad Sherman, the Democrat of California, spoke at that rally. That's just a couple of the people who were there. And these YouTube videos of that rally actually depict these speeches. We posted them in the links that are on VKontakte, and the VKontakte link is on our page at nationalbugle.com, so our Republic Broadcasting Network listeners and people around the world can get to all of those links to see exactly what it is that we're talking about. Several other things I'll mention before we get into some specifics. Daniel Larrison of the American Conservative, Pat Buchanan's publication, has written all kinds of things in recent months on the links between John Bolton and the MEK. I just selected one because there were so many. That this one is entitled John Bolton, the Cheerleader of the MEK. That, again, is a DV Concocted link that we've posted on our big board. Mehdi Hassan of The Intercept has one entitled Here's Why Washington Hawks Love This Cultish Iranian Exile Group. And then, of course, in order to really get into the what is known about these, what has been published about them just in recent years, I find it incredible. And we posted the links to this, again, at VContacta, which is in turn posted on our nationalbugle.com site with a video of me talking about this for 7.5 minutes. Elizabeth Rubin of the New York Times, both in 2011 and in 2013, wrote major exposés on the MEK and on their cultic history and all of these big name American political figures in both of the major political parties that were showing up at these MEK, National Council of Resistance of Iran, rallies. So here even the New York Times in recent years has published much that's right out there on this. And then last but not least, I posted the RAND report, their report on the MEK. It's a PDF file that's 133 pages long if someone wants to read all of that information. It will totally belie the nonsense put out by our State Department in 2012 that these people are no longer a terrorist organization. And again, when we look at what even Wikipedia has published, although they omitted all of the killings of Americans in the 1960s and 70s in Iran, at the hands of the MEK, for whatever reason, I don't know. But the Wikipedia has discussed the NCRI organization along with a lot of other front groups. So folks can access that too, because that's at VContacta. That link is, of course, again, at our nationalbugle.com site. And the long and the short of it is that it is absolutely amazing when one understands the cultic history of this group. It is a religious cult as well as a Marxist organization. They have a long history of murder and mayhem, both in Pahlavi Iran, where they were assassinating Americans and assassinating Iranians associated with the Shah's government, to a period of time when, after the overthrow of Shah Mohammad Reza Pahlavi, the MEK later got itself kicked out of Iran, courtesy of the new Islamic regime. So the MEK paid them back by terrible acts of terrorism against the new regime in Tehran, bombing the Iranian parliament, bombing the Iranian prime minister's office, I believe, in 1981. And this involved the killing of scores of people and scores of significant people at that time. And if people Google that, that information will be made available. But then you go on to their criminal activities for Saddam Hussein, with the full blessing of the United States, undoubtedly, between 1980 and 1988 during the Iran-Iraq War. That's important to understand just how much these people are hated and understandably hated with Iran by millions of people who may not like their current government, but definitely don't want these people back in their country, much less running it. This belies Bolton and Pompeo and all of these other jackasses trying to say that basically these people are a democratic organization. They've reformed. They no longer believe in terrorism. They have broad-based support for what they're doing and so forth and so on. Yeah, they've got broad-based support, all right, if you like the Mossad and Saudi intelligence and the CIA, which is about the extent of their support. So in this particular case, all of these different things that we have posted to VContacta with a link on our nationalbugle.com page, we'll get into this. But the latest outrage is right in the front page of Press Television Iran tonight, and it is that in the midst of all of these threats that Mr. Trump has made at one point that he would obliterate Iran if they did not conform his wishes.
And didn't he tweet that out? Didn't he tweet that out after the Supreme Leader had indicated that President Trump might be mentally retarded?
Yes, that's absolutely right. And what's even more crazier is that there's credible evidence out there that's appeared in the international press. And people can check sites like RT to get the corroboration on this, that the MEK is the leading suspect. The MEK is the leading suspect in these bombings of these tankers in the Persian Gulf. And
that's exactly what I was going to ask. Given everything that you've said, they would seem to be the leading candidate.
That's right. And Giraldi makes it clear in his UNSCR review article, which we've referenced tonight, that their leading financier now is Saudi Arabia.
Okay, so Saudi money. Saudi money going to the MEK, which then sometimes goes to certain politicians. MEK would be lending itself as an instrument. And here's the thing. If the MEK is carrying out these activities, then Bolton can say with a straight face, it was Iranians. This was an Iranian terrorist incident because the
That's
MEK
right.
are Iranians.
We won't get into the fact that they're working for us now, or they're working for the Saudis and the Israelis now. And we certainly, if you're Bolton or Pompeo or Giuliani or Ed Rendell or Congressman Tom McClintock or Congressman Brad Sherman or Senator John Cornyn of Texas or any of these other people that are working directly with the MEK, being seen with them in Albania, being seen with them in Paris, being at rallies that the MEK is clearly fronting for, either in Washington, D.C. or California or wherever, we ought to get back to what they were doing again in the 1960s and 70s. In 1975, for example, May of 1975, I arrived in Iran for the second time. Back in those days, of course, I was a Lutheran college student at Valparaiso University just outside Chicago. Went to seminary in the Chicago area some years later. But every year, my father, who was a U.S. Air Force colonel, that's widely known, he had retired from the Air Force in that dreadful situation in Vietnam as it was closing down, was hired by Lockheed to go to Iran to be a logistical advisor for Shah Mohammad Reza Pahlavi's Imperial Iranian Air Force. That later led, within a couple of years, to a major promotion of my dad at Lockheed, to where he became the overall head in Iran of their so-called peace logistics program, which was the largest defense contracting, Defense Department contract with the Iranian government at that time. Well, of course, the MEK was big stuff in Iran in those days, because going all the way back to 1973, before I was in Iran the first time, and Dr. Giraldi references this one, assassinated a U.S. Army colonel by the name of Hawkins as he was walking home from the U.S. Embassy, which in those days was at Takht-e Jamshid and Roosevelt Avenue in downtown Tehran. And then in 1975, May of 75, I no sooner had gotten over there to spend the summer with my parents than the MEK struck again. And they assassinated two active duty U.S. Air Force officers stationed in Iran. Colonel Paul Schaefer was one. Lieutenant Colonel Jack Turner of Dayton, Ohio, was the other. Now, in this particular case, I attended the funeral of these two victims of the MEK at the Tehran Community Church in those days. Both the assassination of these two men and their funeral, subsequent funeral, were very, very close to where my parents were living in an apartment at that time off of Sultanahabad Avenue in North Tehran. On a street that was then called Golestan 4. I don't know what they would call it today, but my dad was only a couple of blocks away from the chief of staff of the Iranian Air Force, who was one of his direct bosses, who himself was a relative by marriage of the royal family. And in this particular circumstance, when you start looking at all of this, it's quite obvious from 1975 onward that if you were an American intelligence officer at the embassy, any sort of a diplomatic person at the American embassy, if you were a high-level visible defense contractor, if you were an Iranian who had any kind of a relationship with the United States government, that you could be toast very, very quickly.
By the way, we are coming up on the break, so... let's hear the rest.
Well, we are up on our first break, so we will
come back after the break, and we've got more exciting things to talk about.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff, almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
And we are back, and we are hearing the story of the MEK. When you started talking about this a while back, they might have seemed obscure. They sure don't seem obscure now. It seems like they're in the middle of dragging us into a big war. But they are involved in assassinations, and I think you're telling us a story of assassinations that struck a little close to home.
Yes, and in 1976... The Rockwell Corporation lost several of their executives who were rumored to have CIA connections and connections to CIA surveillance sites in the northern part of Iran that in those days, as I understand it, were principally targeting the Soviet Union. These Rockwell employees, Rockwell executives, were assassinated in the same fashion that Colonel Schaefer and Colonel Turner had been several years before. The Lockheed Corporation figured that it might be time to get my dad out of there, out of Iran. So within, I'd say, about 6 months of the time that these Rockwell guys were shot to pieces, my father showed up here in San Antonio and continued his work for the Imperial Iranian Air Force out of a building out on Highway 410 here that's still there, called the Petroleum Center. And my father continued in that capacity for several years until the Shah was actually overthrown. And then, of course, my dad went on to do other things with Lockheed. But the point is that the MEK was a Marxist organization dating back to the self-proclaimed Marxist organization, part of a red student group or a series of red student groups in Tehran in the 1960s, largely in the university setting. Sound familiar, folks? And that later they, of course, began to describe themselves as an Islamic Marxist group, which makes about as much sense to me as saying that you're a member of a Christian Marxist group. But at any rate, here we, all these years later, see that once they're booted out of Iran after the Shah was overthrown, and the new regime understood that these people were bad news, and whatever their uses had been in this so-called red and black coalition that overthrew the Shah, the black part of that coalition, which of course was comprised of the mullahs and the Islamic fundamentalists, they recognized that they wanted no part of these reds, these weird commies that were a part of this authoritarian religious cult. So they got rid of them, and they've had trouble with the MEK ever since, both during the Iran-Iraq War, and then of course over time the MEK has killed probably 17,000 Iranians. That's the last figure I have seen. Mm-hmm. Yeah. In the Habilian Association site. Oh, by the way, one thing we didn't mention, Newsweek magazine, the rag sheet of our old Zionist friends Jane Harman and Sidney Harman, all confirmed that the
Jane Harman being the former head of the Intelligence Committee for the House of Representatives, right. A Jewish congresswoman from California.
Exactly, and that Pat Buchanan was the only one who revealed that she had been overheard in an NSA wiretap discussing with some Israeli governmental employees at the Israeli embassy in D.C., which he was prepared to do, intervene in the judicial proceedings that were going to go ahead in the trial of some ape.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, we are back on the air.
Yeah, we had a little bit of a connection problem there, but we're back.
Well, I'm not at all surprised by that. Now, there's somebody out there listening to this show who is in Christian media, and I predicted to her that this was going to happen. And there's a reason, oftentimes, why some of the most important shows I have done over the years end up having a technical glitch like this one for a time. Back in the days when I was on RBN 5 days a week, we were occasionally running into this. And I have no reason to be able to prove this, I guess. But it's always interested me. Texas, you have the NSA Texas Cryptologic Center, and of course they and Microsoft are not too.
Oh, and now we're having a little bit more of that trouble. Okay, you're back.
Okay, so you want me talking again?
Yeah, keep going.
Well, anyway, I was just talking about technical troubles and shows that I've been doing since 2001 and especially since 2006. Not too far from my radio studio here in San Antonio, the NSA has a very, very special unit in conjunction with Microsoft. It is called the TAO Hacking Unit. The Tailored Access Operations. It's considered to be the intelligence agency's top secret weapon. According to a particular article that I'm reading here, there are a ton of these available on Google, by the way. It maintains its own covert network, infiltrates computers around the world, and even intercepts shipping deliveries to plant backdoors in electronics ordered by those it is targeting. So every once in a while, when I order an icon of Christ for my wall and my home worship altar, maybe I had to start having these things debugged, unless these guys want to listen to prayer for about an hour in the evening. But no, it's upon what we're going to be talking about on this show, this sort of technological likely to happen.
Yeah, and of course you do put out little announcements about the shows in advance, so those
That's right.
may
so
very
know.
Well be monitored. Okay.
Well, and I hope that that's what, maybe what keeps our ratings up. Ms. Fulton is probably having to take a bathroom break because he's so angry right now. If
yep.
He's listening to this.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
And we are back, and we're talking about the MEK, and it's not the first time we've talked about the MEK, and when I say we, I mean you, because everything I know about the MEK is because you started talking about it, and I think you were way ahead of the curve on this, because, wow, they do seem to be at the middle of what's going on now. And one thing I want to point out for listeners is, the past couple of weeks, Tucker Carlson has been really going after John Bolton, tearing him a new one, whatever that means, but really going after him, saying there's nothing normal about John Bolton. Tucker Carlson apparently was able to interject himself into President Trump's thought processes long enough to get him to call off a strike on Iran. And Tucker Carlson ran a clip of John Bolton making a speech a couple of years ago, saying that 2019, a big speech in front of a big crowd, it looked like, very Hollywood type of presentation, saying 2019 is the year that they're going to overthrow the mullahs, and got a huge round of applause. And I thought, wow, was he speaking before AIPAC? Well, no, it seems that he was speaking in front of a conference, actually, in I think in Paris, of the Free Iran Conference. And who is behind the Free Iran Conference? That's is a big MEK thing.
And the National Council of Resistance of Iran. And Bolton got a standing ovation. All of these cultic terrorists who have been historically responsible for all kinds of different crimes, both against the current government in Iran as well as assassinating Americans years ago in the Pahlavi era. These are the guys who were applauding Bolton. So clearly, and I'll say this publicly, this guy is a criminal. And as far as I'm concerned, anybody who is involved with these MEK people is either a complete idiot or someone who is willing to take cash from criminals.
And when you say this guy, you mean Bolton is a criminal?
He's a criminal. Mm-hmm. As far as I'm concerned, there is no way that he can fail to know about the history of these people. And the same thing is true of Giuliani and Ed Rendell and John Cornyn and all of these other folks.
And then another, I was reading a local Pennsylvania article on Ed Rendell and their other former governor, Tom Ridge, was also implicated with the MEK. Tom Ridge, who was the first Department of Homeland Security Secretary, the very first one.
He was very, very chummy with the MEK, and if people don't believe that, they can get right back into a lot of these links that we have posted at VKontakte that are now at nationalbugle.com. And believe, I'd have to go back and refresh my memory on this, but the articles that Elizabeth Rubin wrote on the MEK and their links to all of these sleazeballs in 2011 and 2013 may well have implicated Ridge. He definitely was involved. There's definitely public and information out there that would prove that.
Ridge had been a congressman from Erie, Pennsylvania before becoming governor, so you know, I don't know what committees he was on when he was in Congress, but you know, that's national politics, and would have made him a good partner for the MEK back in the I guess that would have been in the late 20th century. Wow. So,
as a matter of fact, as recently as April of this year, now all people have to do, folks, if you're listening to this broadcast, Google MEK and Tom Ridge, and wonderful things will come up on his relationship with the MEK, which is so public, even Wikipedia knows about it or is willing to publish it. And Daniel Larrison, again, our buddy at the American Conservative, April 12th, 2019, this year, has a post entitled "The Iran Hawks' Creepy Embrace of the MEK." We'll get that one on our VKontakte link, by the way, by the end of the show. And in the very first paragraph of the article, Larrison writes, "Former Homeland Security Secretary Tom Ridge resumes," and there's a link there. Daniel Larrison is undoubtedly pointing us to all of the places that will prove the Ridge relationship with the Mujahideen-e-Khalq. But Ridge resumes his discrediting advocacy for the Mujahideen-e-Khalq, quote, "which is why I include myself among an incredible cadre of men and women from across every spectrum of life and political affiliation in Europe and here in America, who have decided to embrace publicly the viable alternative to the clerical regime, the National Council of Resistance of Iran, the NCRI, and the 10-point plan advocated by the NCRI's leader, Maryam Rajavi." Now, Larissa goes on to say, after posting that Ridge quote, "It is incredible that so many former government officials and retired officers have embraced a totalitarian cult as the alternative to another country's government, but it has been going on now for the better part of a decade. All of the MEK's American boosters have proven that they have such extraordinarily bad judgment that they should have no business talking about Iran policy or any other foreign policy issue. And their continued advocacy on behalf of this awful organization is proof of how easily corrupted our foreign policy debates are. The MEK probably still does engage in terrorism," and he underlines there's a link there, "since its members were reportedly the ones responsible for murdering Iranian scientists a few years back. but there is absolutely no question that they are not and never could be a viable alternative to the current government. It is an indictment of Ridge and others like him, including the NSA, meaning National Security Advisor, Mr. Bolton, that they are so gullible or so obsessed with regime change that they are willing to make such ridiculous claims in public. Tom Ridge, unsurprisingly, doesn't mention that almost all Iranians everywhere hate the MEK and want nothing to do with it. They certainly don't want them to take over Iran. And I think it's safe to assume, says Larrison, that any attempt to force this group on the people would be met with overwhelming resistance. So much for being quote-unquote viable. It is a reflection of many Iran hawks' ignorance of the country and its people that they could possibly work. Ridge omits that Rajavi is a cultist leader who used to fight on the side of Saddam Hussein's Iraq during the Iran-Iraq War, and he leaves out the group's long history of abusing its own members that continues to this day in their creepy compound in Albania. Every time that a prominent American shills for the MEK, it is an insult to the genuine Iranian opposition and another reminder that Iran hawks have nothing but contempt for the Iranian people, not to mention contempt for the families of Colonel Turner and Colonel Schaefer and Colonel Hawkins, who were murdered in Iran in the 1970s, not to mention the families of these Rockwell International employees who were assassinated, or the Texaco executive that was killed over there. And thankfully, didn't get my own father, but they certainly gave it a good try.
Right. Okay. Now, the first time we had the network problems, perhaps courtesy of this unit in San Antonio, you were in the middle of a story. I want to make sure you finish that, and then I got a couple of questions.
Sure.
So, do you remember where you were in your narrative? Nope.
But refresh my memory.
Okay, hold on a second.
Okay. I was saying you had a situation where the Jane Harman was caught on an NSA wiretap.
That's
that was
Jane Harman, former congresswoman.
Yes. Mm-hmm. From California, Democrat, was a member of the House for Intelligence Committee.
And the chair of it for a while.
Yes, and apparently she was offering her services to the Israeli embassy in Washington to get the chairmanship of the House Intelligence Committee in exchange for making sure that charges were dropped against these AIPAC executives who had been receiving National Security Council secrets on Iran from the name of Larry Franklin, who was prosecuted and convicted, but these AIPAC executives weren't touched, and Jane Harman's intervention may have had something to do with that. I certainly believe it had something to do with her elevation to the House Intelligence Committee. So this is all courtesy, folks, of the Israeli intelligence nexus that just loves the MEK. This is the same crowd
this
cover up.
The same crap.
And so,
we lost you for a second.
Yeah, well, I was saying that this is the same crowd that has been involved in everything from the Levant affair to the USS Liberty attack cover up to the Jonathan Pollard spy case. And to an AIPAC spy case that clearly Jane Harman had a vested interest in helping to cover up for the Israelis.
An AIPAC spy case, which I guess would be a show of its own. Maybe someday we should go into that. So there's a very deep connection then between the MEK and Israel, and what they're doing now seems to be timed for Israel's interests.
No question about it. And Israel's interest and Saudi's interest, as a matter of fact, among the many things posted there at VKontakte, the link to this show, including the promotional video, 7 minutes and 20 seconds, or I think it was 7 minutes and 31 seconds where I was talking about this, gets into the past interviews that I have done with Iranian news agencies that go back some years. And the reason that that's important is that I was saying then that when you're talking MEK, you are now talking about the U.S., Israeli, Saudi nexus that wants to overthrow the Iranian government and that will engage in acts of war and terror if necessary to do it.
Wow. Okay. So we've got this connection between the obvious funding connection between the MEK and Saudi Arabia. We've got the MEK then giving, what, like tens of thousands of dollars per speech for John Bolton and others.
Well, here's one for you. Elaine Chao, the wife of Mitch McConnell.
And the current, is she the labor secretary or the...
Yeah, I believe so. That's labor or commerce.
Or she was transportation. Was she transportation in Bush's cabinet and now labor? I think that's how it works.
Yes, I know that in one of these news articles, and it may have been Dr. Giraldi's, Elaine Chao received $50,000 for 5 minutes of speech at this gathering, I believe, in Paris that we have made reference to where John Bolton is concerned.
Wow, and people don't know anything about this. John Bolton and Mike Pompeo can say, you know, this Iranian attack, and they can say it with a straight face, partly because it probably was Iranians, but they are these cultish Iranians. Could you imagine, oh gosh, what if, it's hard to come up with an analogy, but let's just say in the 1960s, if the Black Panthers had done something somewhere and then the Russians or the Soviets were saying an American attack on such and such, but it's just hard to come up with a parallel. It's just so insane, and people don't know about the MEK. It's completely off the radar screens. They were off my radar screen, but they really seem to be that jagged piece of a puzzle that fits right into this jagged hole.
Well, that's exactly right, and this is why the websites I mentioned at the top of the show, that of Ann and Masoud Kodabanda, the Iran Interlink site, and also the Nejat Society. The Habilian Association is a third, but at least the last listing for that I had for their website has gone down. But at least in terms of Iran Interlink, Kodabanda site, and Nejat Society, those are go-to pages on a regular basis because these folks are not only posting what they're writing and saying, they are also posting things that are appearing all over the world on the MEK that are conveniently not appearing in the Israeli and the American news media. I went back and checked the Giraldi piece on the MEK's money, and that one, which is at the UNS Review, of course, lists Liani and Bolton, the late John McCain, Lindsey Graham, Gene Shaheen, and then, of course, Giuliani got a standing ovation at this 2015 conference in Paris, and apparently that's about the time that Bolton must have gotten one as well. And then in August of 2017, Senators Roy Blunt, John Cornyn, Tom Tillis, and Carl Levin met with Rajavi in Paris. Newt Gingrich considers himself a friend of the Iranian resistance.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Secretary of Labor, wife of Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, and I spoke correctly that she spoke in Paris for 5 minutes in 2015, according to Dr. Giraldi, and she made $50,000. And then, of course, Giraldi discusses both the Saudi and Israeli angle. Saudi Arabia, says our former U.S. CIA station chief, Philip Giraldi, is now the major funding of MEK and CRI. Its intelligence chief, Turki Al-Faisal, spoke before the group in 2017. Israel funded the group in its early days, and its external spies.
Israel funded the group in its early days.
In its early days.
Well, when were those early days?
Giraldi doesn't so indicate. I would imagine it probably, I'm going to guess, all the way back during the Iran-Iraq war, but I'm guessing.
Yeah, that's what I would think, because I don't see why Israel would have funded them prior to the Iranian Revolution, because Israel had pretty good relations with the Shah, as I recall.
Yes, and so here you have a situation, ironically enough, where there was a time when Israel had a good relationship with Iran in the days of Shah Mohammad Reza Pahlavi. The MEK helps to overthrow the Shah. Later, the MEK gets booted out of Iran by the new Islamic regime. The MEK starts working against that regime, helping out on the side of Israel and the U.S. and probably Saudi and Britain in regard to the 1980 Iran-Iraq war. So that's how quickly these alliances can change. Giraldi indicates
that... Well, we say 1980 to 1988. It was a very prolonged war, and there may well have been some switching sides in the middle of the war, too.
Sure. And Giraldi goes on to say that Mossad continues to use MEK spies in Iran to assassinate scientists and tamper with computer systems, as they have been doing, by the way, in Albania. A lot of it beyond that.
Okay, you're breaking up a little bit, and we were talking about Albania. Albania's always been a bit of a weird interest of mine. Albania joined NATO in 2009, and you wonder, why would you have an Iranian group based in NATO, I mean based in Albania? And I wonder, you know, it wasn't easy for a lot of these Balkan countries to get into NATO. I wonder if there was some sort of quid pro quo there, but that's just me wondering.
Well, it's definitely something to wonder about. I certainly can't speak to that, but I would suspect that is an excellent avenue for further research with people who might have the information who would talk to us off the record at National Bugle on that very subject. And of course, Giraldi goes on to say that the CIA...
Oh, we're going into the next break. So we'll get with the thing after the next break.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from...
Okay, we are back from the last break. We've got a few minutes left. So, yeah, let's wrap this up. What's Albania, the MEK, Philip Giraldi's article? Where do we go?
Well, then there's that RAND Corporation report, which is 133 pages long, which gives the long... Long and in detailed information on these folks, which was certainly available to the State Department well before 2012 and 2013 and 14. And so it's obvious that all of that information has ignored by the current crowd at Langley and the Bolton Pompeo neocons and people like Giuliani and Rendell. And John Cornyn and all of the other people that seem to be more concerned with working with the Israeli government than they do working on behalf of the American people.
Mm. Wow, okay. So what do we need to watch out for in these coming weeks with the continuing push for war with Iran?
I think, and this gets back to, I've given interviews in recent days to the Tasnim News Agency as well as to the Tehran Times and Press Television in the last 24 hours, and I don't know what, if anything, has posted yet of those interviews, but I keep emphasizing the danger of a false flag incident, and obviously that links up directly with the MEK in all likelihood, and that coincides certainly with what Press TV has quoted tonight of the MEK's threats to assassinate Iran's senior general as well as the head of Iran's judiciary. And maybe we'll close this off with the last paragraph of the Giraldi article in the UNS review, where Dr. Giraldi says, "Lost all of the above is any conceivable American interest. It is difficult to even make the claim that Iran threatens the U.S. or any vital interest, and the drive to decapitate the mullahs, both literally and figuratively, really comes from Riyadh and Tel Aviv. And there is potential collateral damage. Where it really might matter is MEK cultists continue to sit and fester in a holding pattern maintained by Washington in the heart of Europe. What is coming next? War of time with Iran is appearing to be increasingly likely, given recent remarks by Secretary of State Mike Pompeo threatening to crush the Iranians. Is Washington intending to send the MEK warriors on sabotage missions inside Iran, something like the resistance to the Germans in World War II? Maybe Giuliani and Bolton know the answer to that question," says Philip Giraldi, "and I'll bet that these folks in Albania know all about it."
Wow. Well, Mark, thank you so much for coming on. I think this show is going to be an education for lots of people. It's been an education for me. I feel very much enlightened.
Well, I tell you, I just hope that the people listening tonight with the NSA here in San Antonio will help our ratings, and I hope that those guys enjoy the show. Again, the NSA listening facility here in San Antonio is their global internet surveillance service, known as the Tailored Access Operations, or TAO, hacking unit, and it is considered to be the intelligence agency's top secret weapon. So in this particular case, if you listen to the Republic Broadcasting Network, if you listen to National Bugle Radio, if you get an unexpected package from Amazon, have it swept for bugs, please.
Okay, very good, very good. Okay, well, we'll look forward to you coming back again next week when I'll be back again with more exciting episodes of National Bugle Radio.
When your doctor tells you you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last two decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendivite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The seven herbs in Extendivite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendivite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendivite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You're listening to the